Amanda. Well, yeah, I've been gone for the last 2 months. And if you were like the many people who in January was like, hey, I got to get around to finding a church. Well, I'm your pastor. So hi, how you doing? So if you haven't met me yet, I'm sure at some point I will get to meet you. And hopefully after this message, you're like, see ya. I'll try another church. But if you got to know all these lovely people, I'm sure we'll be good friends. Well, sabbatical was an incredible experience, and I feel like I know for a lot of people, they came to me and they were saying, you know, I don't ever get to take 2 months off. I mean, why should you get to take 2 months off? Like, what's that all about? And it's a thing, all right? It's a thing that pastors do and professors do and people who have just different roles, different kinds of stressors. And so it was a huge blessing. A huge blessing for me, refreshing for me, renewing. I was able to regain clarity. I was able to just immerse myself in the presence of God and to be with Jesus. And it was a really, really important time for me. I want to thank those of you on our staff and our leadership team for filling in so many gaps. I want to thank Corbett and Amanda. I want to thank Richard and Valerie. I want to thank Del Irwin and my wife Deborah and everyone, Aaron and Kyle and everyone on our leadership team, Garth, who's gone in New York right now. I want to thank them all for all the work that they put in to be able to make it happen. I owe them a burst of energy now. And I want to thank all of you who have filled in gaps here and there. And as well, for those of you who were praying for me, I know I asked before I left that you would be in prayer for me and pray over this time that I had. And I felt the presence of God. I could sense, and I know some people were texting me saying, hey, we put your picture up, or, you know, we put a reminder note here, and we're praying for you every day. And I can't tell you how amazing that feels. I felt so supported, and it even makes me emotional just being able to have that kind of support. It's really a special thing. And so I thank you. Thank you very much for all of that. And, you know, what I desperately want is to be a blessing as a pastor to all of you. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to speak words that bring encouragement, inspiration for you. I want to surround and support you as best that I can to be present in your lives and to really be that pastoral presence for you. Because I believe that God is really, he's placed a calling and an anointing on my life as a pastor and on all pastors. And I think it's an important role that maybe we take for granted in our day and age. And it's something that I want to ask God that he would really bless it and use it in powerful ways in all of our lives. And so, anyways, a big thank you. But I want to share a little bit this morning as I titled this message, Rest. And I know that for a lot of you, it's going to be like, well, good for you to say, you know, you had a lot of rest. I was working hard while you were on sabbatical. But I want to share this message with you because I want to relay to you a little bit of the things that I have learned. And hopefully it's something that I could pass on to you in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not everything in this message is going to apply to you. Maybe especially if the application is, hey, just take 2 months off work. It's really going to do you good. Your HR department might not be so happy about that idea, but nevertheless, I want to talk to you about rest. I want to share with you some of the insights that I had personally and just hoping that this is something that all of us will resonate with. You know, the demands that we place on our lives in this day and age are really, I mean, it's unreal. If you think about our schedules, if you think about, you know, our work-life balance, if you think about information overload that we're exposed to each and every day, it's beyond what any human beings have experienced up until this point in time. And so in a lot of ways, we suffer from fatigue, from exhaustion, from stress, from overstimulation. And that fatigue is not necessarily all physical. In fact, I think a lot of it is mental and emotional. And I think that for many of us, there are days when we wake up and we feel just depleted. We feel tired. We feel exhausted. And I know for me, those are some of the things that, that I was feeling in this season before heading into this sabbatical. And of course, when we're fatigued and we feel exhausted and all those feelings, we suffer. We suffer from anxiety. We suffer from stress. We suffer from confusion. We feel emotionally numb. We suffer from distractions and even depression. And those side effects, they could be very terrible things in the long run. And I was struggling with some of these things. I was dealing with some stress and anxiety. I was dealing with some confusion and a lack of clarity, and just really, really was blessed to be able to take this time to reflect and renew and to think about my life. And, you know, some of the things that I was really able to work through is just really defining what the rhythm of life and the pace of life that I wanted to live, and to reset those boundaries and those limits, and to develop the right kind of habits so that each and every day I could wake up and I could do the things that are going to lead towards health and abundant life. And, you know, everybody's limits are different. Everybody's boundaries are different. Everybody's focuses and priorities are different. And so you need to find, you know, those things for your life. But it's so important to really take the time and to sit down and reflect and be alone, you know, without voices, without digital screens, without all those kinds of things, and just think and just be and present yourself before God and just reorient yourself with Him. And it's so, so critically important. I want to talk about some ways that we can do that this morning. But so what I was craving in this time was clarity. I needed clarity. I needed peace. I needed more presence in my life to be free from distractions. And I think that many of you can relate with that. And what I needed was rest. And, you know, in the Hebrew, the word rest is the word Shabbat. And it's actually the word that we get the word Sabbath from. So Sabbath essentially just means rest. It's the word Shabbat, which is just a fun word to say. You could turn to your neighbor and say, Shabbat, Shabbat. And you remember from the stories of Genesis that God created the world in 6 days, and it says on the seventh day, He Shabbat, He rested, and He rested from His work. And the big question in all of that is, well, why does God rest? Because if we know anything of God, He's limitless, right? He's without limits. There's no need for Him to hold back. There's no need for Him to rest. There's no need for Him to stop what it is that He is doing, because He's inexhaustible in His energy, in His ability to just keep trucking, right? And for you and I, it's something different. And so when you look at the scriptures, you recognize that God is resting. He's taking a break from His creative work to model something for us. Scriptures as well say that we were created in His image. If we were created in the image of God, then we ought to live our lives the way that He lived His. We ought to recognize that in His wisdom, He is resting, because there is wisdom in resting, right? There's wisdom in being able to sit back and relax and look upon everything that your hands have built, everything that you have done, and to just reflect and say, wow, this is very good. And that's exactly what God does. That's exactly what we find. In fact, at the end of each day, He would say that. But on that seventh day, it says that He rested and He looked on everything that His hands had made, everything that He had created. And He said, wow, this is really good. And you need that. You need that time to be able to look at your life, to be able to look at what you have produced, to be able to look at what you have built, to be able to look at your family and your relationships and say, wow, this is good, and just express that gratitude and just take some time to really reflect on what that is. And this idea is revisited again in the book of Exodus. And it's thousands of years in human history later, but God's people are enslaved by the Egyptians. And they're slaves. There's no day off. You know, it's brick making day after day after day. It's straw, it's water, it's dirt. Mix them together, make a brick, on to the next one, right? Day after day after day. And God makes it this point that His people need rest. And He actually tells Moses, He says, I want you to go and take the people out from the land of Egypt and hold a festival in my name. And so Moses, is one of his first instructions from God is to go to Pharaoh and request this. And so Pharaoh, he asked Pharaoh, hey, can we go and can we have a break? You know, can we take a day and just have a festival and celebrate our God? And Pharaoh comes back and he says, no, I'm going to make your work even harder. Like, what do you think this is? Break time? Right? You're slaves. This is what you do. You make bricks. And so he makes their work even harder. He takes away their ability to get straw. And of course, the people are all complaining. And the moral of the story is that God is seeking rest for his people. God is seeking time for them to really come away and be with him and to understand who they are in his eyes and to get away from this identity of being subjects to Pharaoh, being slaves of Pharaoh. And ultimately, God does deliver his people. He releases them from slavery, and then he prescribes for them a more appropriate work balance. He says you have 6 days in which you can work and you can strive and you can, you know, do your thing and do you. And then on that seventh day, I want you to cease from work. I want you to take a break. I want you to rest. I want you to breathe. Right? Just be. And the key thought there is that your identity does not rest on what your hands can produce. Your identity rests in a relationship with me. Take a break from all of that. You know, don't worry about defining your life based off what you can produce. Recognize that your value, your worth, your identity needs to be grounded in something much deeper, in a relationship with me. And so what are the elements of a Sabbath? I came up with an acronym for you. When I came back from sabbatical, Corbett was like, what we need is we need more acronyms. We need you to preach the heck out of some acronyms. And so, no, that's not true. But inside, Corbett is like, he has seen Jesus. He has met with Jesus. He's preaching with acronyms. The first letter R is recreation. Playing more, doing things for fun. I was speaking with a pastor who has kind of become a mentor to me here over the last couple of months, and he was talking to me about what I should be doing on my sabbatical. And ironically enough, when you're going to sabbatical and you're going to rest, it's like, what should I be doing? Right? What should be happening here? And what he prescribed was a 70% rest and 30% work. And one of the things he said was, you need recreation. This is an interesting thing when you look at this word, because it's re-creation. Isn't that interesting? You know, so off playing softball with your friends, if that's your thing, off fishing, which I know some people in this room, we love that. For me, it's playing sports, right? For you, it might be art, it might be gardening, it might be any of those kinds of things, but finding these things that just don't take up a lot of headspace, right? These things that just free you so that you can just be you, be yourself, have fun. Like, those moments are so critically important, because when we're bogged down with schedules, when our minds are filled with social responsibilities and everything that we have to do, tasks and to-do lists, it's really, really hard. It starves us of creativity. It starves us of this need to create. And, you know, we were created to create. God formed us to fashion things and to build things. God made us to make. And he wants us to be creators. He wants us to be creative and to use our creativity. But when we're consumed by these tasks and to-do lists and work schedules, it starves us oftentimes of our creativity to be ourselves. And we need that space, we need that time to really allow ourselves to breathe, really allow our minds to just think freely. And man, it's amazing what taking some time to do just that does, just kind of break the logjam in your head. If any of you are writers, if any of you are artists or any of those kind of, you know, what we call creative endeavors, man, this is so critically important that you'd recognize sometimes you just got to put down the pen and you got to go take a walk. I mean, I do this all the time when I'm writing sermons. I'll just get stuck on some point or I'll have finished writing some section and look back at it and that's terrible. Like, what am I even doing here? And so I'll just put it to the side, go take a walk, right? Go do something to just free my mind of focusing on it, just to find some inspiration and become creative again. And so this word, it was a revelation to me. Recreate. Right? You need to recreate. You need recreation. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given us. We were created to just to play and to enjoy and to do the things that we love. It's a part of life. You have permission, right? God wants you to take the time to do these things, right? He wants you to enjoy life and to have fun. And sometimes, at least for some of us, we're so constrained by these schedules. We're so fixated upon, but I've got to do more. I've got to be more. I've got to accomplish more. And we're driven, and that's a wonderful, great thing. But don't forget that you're also created to just enjoy life and to just have fun. You know, there is such a thing as being a Christian hedonist every once in a while, right? It's good to eat, drink, and be merry, everything in moderation. And so, recreation, go fishing, go play cards, go knit, you know, yourself a sweater, whatever it is. I said that for Kathy Irwin. Go do you, go do that thing. It's good. You have permission. You know, I'm granting you permission, and I speak for God, you know, all that. Anyway, go do that. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? New theology. All right, so second letter, E, empty yourself. Empty yourself. And I really grabbed this vernacular from Philippians chapter 2, where Paul's talking about Jesus emptying himself, becoming a servant, doing that which God had called him to do. And this is going to sound weird, but one of the greatest gifts that I felt like I was given during these 2 months was being expendable. And it sounds terrible on the surface, but it's equally wonderful. Yeah, what it means is this, and this is what I discovered. Life goes on without you. Like the church, everything ran smoothly. Like I was almost kind of sad that Corbett didn't call me. We're in a crisis. We don't know what to do. We need your wisdom. And it never happened. And it was good. It was good to feel expendable. It was good to feel just not all that important. And I know that my mother and my sisters growing up, they always reminded me that the world does not revolve around you, Jeremiah. And my wife reminds me of that every now and then now. But it's true. The world does not revolve around you. The world certainly doesn't revolve around me, and it's important to remind ourselves of that every now and then because we have this tendency towards selfishness, and if it goes unchecked for too long, we can become narcissistic. And there's this great quote from Abraham Maslow, and I ran into it while I was reading, and it goes like this. It says, "We are simultaneously gods and worms." And it's so true, and just bear this out with me for a second. There are moments when you do something, you perform some task extraordinarily well, you land a deal, you knock it out of the park. I mean, you answer a question that was so impossible to answer. You know, you help your seventh grade son and you get his algebra question just right on. What happens to me every once in a while? I feel like a god. Like, I can't believe I remember this stuff from when I was a kid. And you do something like that. I am just so gifted. I mean, it is really amazing. We are both simultaneously gods and worms because there are those moments as well, whether it's when you screw up or mess up or do something incredibly stupid, or when you just sit back and you just think to yourself, all this stuff that I'm doing, all these dreams, ambitions, and goals, this life that I'm building, in 100 years, nobody is going to remember and nobody is going to care. everyone that I know now is going to be dead in 100 years. And that is an incredibly sobering thought. Just to think to myself, wait a minute. It's like a whole scope of human history, right? There's God who stands in the center of it all. And there's this recognition, I'm not that big of a deal. And if all my dreams and aspirations and goals are accomplished, even if everything works out perfectly, at the end of it all, it's going to be, eh. I mean, it's just not that big of a deal. And I know, I mean, for some of you, you're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, what about all this meaning and significance that I find in life? Hey, that's wonderful if you found that. But it's really important every once in a while to recognize that when things don't work out, when plans don't work out, when life isn't going the way that you had imagined, it's okay too. Because really, at the end of it all, it's about God. It's about who he is, and it's about what he is doing. And you and I are just on a journey. We're just on a journey towards eternity. And it's a wonderful thing to recognize that there is eternity, and to recognize that our relationship with God and our relationship with others goes on. But there's also this recognition that all the accomplishments of this life, all the things that we are working towards, really in the end, are not the point. And it's good to feel expendable every now and then. I was blessed with that gift over these last couple of months. So empty yourself. You know, you're not as important sometimes as you think. And it's important just to be humbled by that thought every now and again. So now that I've let your balloon deflate a little bit, let's move on. The S, set priorities. Set priorities. Now, if you don't regularly sit down and think through the things that are most important to you in life, those things that are of highest priority for you, then what will happen is you'll allow life to dictate what those things are. I've heard it said this way before. Don't let what is most urgent crowd out what is most important. Because other people's emergencies and work emergencies will constantly rub up against the things that are your priorities and the things that you need to do. You only have so much time. You only have so much energy. You can't always be giving it away and sucked dry. If you don't know where your limits are and your boundaries are, people will just take and take and take and take until there's nothing left of you. I've got 4 kids. I know what this means. It's amazing how many times, and they love that I'm back in the pulpit, by the way, so I could tell some of these stories. It's amazing how many times, and I won't pick any one of them out in particular, but it's amazing how many times they'll come and say, I have a book report. It's due tomorrow. You've got to do 2 weeks of research for me and write the entire thing and then get me an A. It's like, no, that's your responsibility. I live my life and do the things that I am responsible for, and you live your life and do the things that you're responsible for. It's called growing up. It's called taking responsibility. Preach, preacher. Amen. Yeah. But every once in a while, they'll pull one of those, right? But, I mean, my emergency is, or their emergency is not my emergency. Right? And it even goes with pastoring. I've had to learn this lesson in pastoring. Somebody's life is falling apart, and all of a sudden, I'm on call 24/7. And there's a limit, right? And you have to set those limits. You have to set those boundaries with people. And maybe it's even at work. I mean, here's just the truth. Your boss isn't going to come to you and say, you know, I'm not going to ask you to do this thing because I could see that you're doing so much already. Right? That's rarely ever going to happen. Every now and then, you're going to have to come to your boss and say, hey, you know what? I'm spinning a lot of plates right now, and I'm afraid I'm going to drop some things, and so I can't take that on. Right? And that's okay. And you've got to set those boundaries. You've got to set those limits, or else life will dictate those things for you. And so, you know, here's how I did this. It was guided through a process, through a couple of books that I was reading, but I set some categories in place. And I didn't put these on the screen, but if you want to write them down, you can. It could be helpful, and you'll have some other categories that you maybe will want to fill in. But here were the categories that I chose. Just try to kind of dissect, you know, the main parts of my life. And I put down my faith life. I put down my marriage life for you. If you're not married, it might be your future relationship. I put down my family life, my financial life, my work life, my screen life, which is kind of a new one that wasn't in the book, but I thought that might need to be added. And my ministry life. Obviously, my ministry life and my work life are really closely related. For you, it might be, you know, what ways you volunteer here at the church, or what ways you volunteer doing ministry in some other capacity or some other place. As well, I put my physical life, you know, just exercise and diet and those kinds of things. And then lastly, social life. And I put those things down in categories, and then I just reflected on each one. I took a day maybe an hour to take each one. And I just kind of thought through what was going on in that particular area of my life. And I graded myself. And I set grades for my faith life. I set grades for my marriage life. And I set grades for my physical life and social life. And I said, well, this is a C. And this one's a B. And this one's going pretty good. I give myself an A here. But this one is a D. Like, this one is really bad. And so I just took an assessment of what was going on. And this is such a healthy exercise, and I hope that some of you would be inspired to do this, that you would really take these major areas of your life, and again, you might add to that list or subtract from that list, and just take stock of what's going on. Grade yourself. Just assess, okay, how healthy am I in this area of life? And then make some goals, right? Raise the bar. Say, you know what? Physically, I could be doing so much better. I need to exercise 3 times a week. I need to eat better. I'll give myself a cheat meal every week, or, you know, or a couple of cheat meals every week, or I'll take weekends off, or whatever else you got to do. But I'm going to stick to this diet, or I'm going to do this. Or maybe it's, you know, screen time. You know, Apple's got that really helpful reminder. I don't know if those of you have downloaded the newest edition of the iOS. It tells you what your screen time was. And then I always feel extremely guilty when it's like, your screen time was up 10%. I'm like, 10%? You know, these days, that's like 10 hours. But, you know, where are you at? And how could you do better? Grade yourself and then set goals. And say, well, I'm going to instill this habit, or I'm going to do this better, or I'm going to make this a habit in my life. And then check it again. I actually have gotten into the rhythm now, or my goal is to do this once a month. To really sit down and take each and every one of these areas and grade myself and set goals and say, okay, here's how I can make some improvements in this particular area of my life. How can I improve? How can I move that C to a B? How can I move that B to an A? How can I make these incremental improvements and make sure that this balance of my life is truly balanced? Powerful, powerful tool. So set priorities for yourself during these times of rest. And then as well, and lastly, I would say teachability. I think teachability is one of the most important principles that I want to share with you this morning. It's not enough for you to subjectively look at your life and grade yourself. Sometimes you need an objective person, you know, a teacher, right? You need somebody on the outside who knows you well in this particular area of your life to say, oh, you think you're a B? Right? You're failing this class, right? I mean, you need some real work, you know, or maybe, and hopefully every once in a while they would say, hey, I think you're doing better in that area than you actually think. But for the most part, I think it's a dose of reality when we bring in these outside people to speak to these particular areas of our lives. And I know for me, over this time, I was able to speak to some really good friends and have them speak some brutal honesty into my life. I was able to reach out to family. I was able to speak with my wife about a lot of things. I was able to take my kids out and have my kids say, hey, you're always preaching at us. But let me tell you, Dad, and that happened, and that was good. It was hard. It was all hard. It was brutal because sometimes the things that people needed to say were not pleasant or easy for me to hear because I'd gotten unhealthy in some areas and I needed some work. And to be honest, I anticipated this. I knew that there were some things that weren't working right. I knew I needed to hear from people on the outside. And as I was able to do that, on the other side of it, it's incredible how much more clarity you have, how much more of a recognition of this is really where I'm at. This is how things are. And when you get to that point, that's when you can start to build. That's when you can start to grow. That's where you can start to say, hey, you know, it feels like a setback, right? But I'm going to move forward from this point. And it's humility, right? It's humility, but it's also this truth medicine, right? And it's so important just to recognize here's where I am and it's not where I need to be. So what's it going to take for me to get there? And then finally, and most importantly, and still under this teachability, the most important person to be teachable before is Jesus. And he invites us to learn from him on this very particular issue of rest. He invites us, learn from me. We find in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, just in case you were thinking, I haven't heard a Bible verse yet. Is Jeremiah still preaching on the Bible? Is that still what we believe? Yes, it is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here's what I learned from this passage. I read it a number of times while I was away. When every burden that you are carrying is aligned with the will of God for you, it will become as light as a feather. When Jacob was forced to work 7 years for the woman that he loved, for Rachel, he says that those 7 years were like 7 days. They went by so quickly. I mean, the burden was easy and light because it was what his heart desired and it was right. It was good. If what you are pursuing, what your heart desires most, if what you are pursuing is what your heart desires most, the burdens of life will roll right off your shoulders. If your heart is aligned with what Jesus wants from you, the burden is easy, the yoke is light. And this is why Jesus instructs us to come and learn from him. He says, I want to tell you about what my heart is for you, who I've created you to be. I want you to be so in line with that, so in tune with me on that particular issue, that the things that you chase after, the things that you strive for, the things that you are moving towards with all of your might, will be light for you, will be easy for you. Because when you are pursuing the things that I have created you to pursue, when your heart is longing for and desiring the things that I have placed within you to desire for, it is amazing how much liberty and freedom you will experience in that. And I believe that's the lesson here, that we would constantly be learning from Jesus, that we would be teachable, that we would quiet ourselves before him, and just allow him to speak to us, to realign us, to constantly guide us to our true north, and to find rest in him. And it's this wonderful gift that Jesus gives. And I just want to encourage you, never stop pursuing him. And if you feel as though, you know, life is just swirling around and chaos and confusion and I'm burdened and I'm stressed and I'm anxious and all these things, this is your one missing ingredient. This is the one thing that you need. I could add to that, if If you seek him and his kingdom, everything else will be added to it. And I could tell you right now, this is what I needed most. I needed to hear from Jesus. I needed to be teachable before him. I needed to realign my desires with his desires for me. And I think that I'm going to find going forward just what he said, his promise. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And that's my prayer for you as well. I want to just pray and ask that God would really use this time to really inspire us. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for your love for us. And God, we're grateful that you extend so many invitations like this one that we just read. God, you extend this invitation for us to come before you. God, to just rest at your feet and to just allow you to speak over us and to inspire us and to fill us with a sense of who you are and who you have called us to be. And so, God, I pray that we would just really recognize this is so critical that there's nothing else that really takes precedence over it. And we must place you at the number one, God, as the priority, as the one that we seek above and beyond all things. And God, for those who are just confused and frustrated as they have attempted this over and over again, I just ask for a renewal of grace. I ask for a removal of any guilt that they have over it, over leaving it unattended or just not taking the time that they need to be with you. I just pray a release over any of that guilt or any of that frustration. And I just pray that you would give them the ability to say, you know what? This week's a fresh start. Today's a fresh start. And God, I pray that they would just make it a point to take time to be with you and to hear from you. And that we would discover together that the things you have called us to, the things that we are working towards in life, God, that your burden is easy, your yoke is light. So God, your blessing upon each and every person in this room today. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this beautiful weather. In your name we pray. Amen.